Well, happy Resurrection Day. And of course, today we're going to focus on the resurrection a little bit. And a word that is connected to the resurrection is the word hope. And today I really want to hone in on this word hope. In fact, as you read much of the New Testament and you come across verses in the Bible that speak of the resurrection of Christ, you will often find that word hope in the same sentence. You heard it today in our scripture reading this morning out of 1 Peter chapter 1, where resurrection and hope were tied together. Well, today I just want to simply ask four questions in regards to hope. And these are the questions. Number one, if you've got your outlines in the bulletin, you can follow along. But number one, what is hope? Number two, where does hope come from? Number three, what does hope look to? And number four, what does hope produce? Well, first off, what is hope? How do we define that word hope? Well, there's different definitions for that word hope. Like many words in our English language, there are different definitions, more than one. And even in the Bible, when we find that word hope, sometimes it's used in different ways. For example, when you find Paul writing to, say, the church in Rome, and he hopes to see them, he wants to see them, he says, "I hope to visit you soon." Now, when Paul uses that word hope, he's not exactly sure that he's going to be there. He wants to, he longs to be with these believers, but he also knows, who knows, he could be in prison for many more years. God could call him somewhere else instead of Rome. So he says, I hope to be with you. I hope to visit you. And that's the way that most of our world today uses that word hope, don't they? When they say, "I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because I'm having this picnic," right? How many of you have been there? You've used that word hope in that way. I hope this happens, or I hope this doesn't happen. There's an uncertainty attached to that word hope when we use it in that way. But hope also has another definition. You could say a biblical definition is this, and this is hope, and that is, it is a certain expectation of what is to come. In other words, it's a sure thing, it's a concrete thing, not mere wishful thinking. And so as we talk about this word hope today, and I say the word hope, I want you to hear it in that way, that it's a certain expectation of what is to come. Second question is, where does this hope come from? Well, ultimately, it comes from God. But more specifically, you could say this, it comes from our faith. It comes from our faith in Christ. You see, if we have no faith, you can say we have no hope. It's that simple. And we see that our faith, of course, is rooted in God's grace. This is clearly taught in the scriptures. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Paul says there to the church that they have been justified. In other words, they've been declared righteous. And if you're here today and your faith is in Christ, then God sees you through the sacrifice of his Son. And so because of that, we can have confidence that on the day of judgment, we will stand before God blameless and spotless because of what Jesus has done. That's what it means to be justified, to be made right in the sight of God. And Paul says, you're made right through your faith in Christ. It's faith that makes that all possible. And so that is why the Bible says our faith and our hope is an anchor for our very souls. So then, if hope is this certain expectation of what is to come, and we know that this hope comes about because of our faith in Jesus, then number three, what does hope look to? In other words, if the essence of hope is looking forward to something that we don't have yet, we don't possess yet, what is it we're looking for? What is it we're looking forward to? What does hope look to? When you begin to think about it, there are lots of things that hope looks to. But if you had to sum it up in one word, I'd give you this word. And it's the word glory. The word glory. Listen to what Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians 1:27. He says to them, writing to believers or saints, he says, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does all this glory entail that Paul speaks of? Well, there's a lot of things, and we can't cover everything today, but let me give you five quick things that this glory speaks of. Number one is the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said he's going to come back again. And so we know when he comes back, it's going to be a glorious event. It's going to be a glorious thing. And so our hope is in the return of Christ that is to happen someday. As we often sing, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, right? Shining like the sun at the trumpet call. It's going to be a glorious thing to see the appearance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's glory in that event. And so we have hope looking forward to that. What else? The Bible speaks of the redemption of our bodies. I got good news for you today. If you're in Christ, these bodies that we now have, we're getting new models. We're getting some phenomenal bodies that will not be subject to disease or sickness or heartache or acne. How many can say amen to that, right? Still got almost 50 years old. I'm still getting acne. I don't understand it. But in heaven, there's no acne. These bodies that are breaking down and wearing down, subject to disease and sorrow, won't be there. We'll be getting glorified bodies, the Bible speaks of, resurrected bodies. And so we have this hope of a new body someday in Christ. What else? What other glorious thing? Well, just think of heaven itself. It's called the home of righteousness. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's going to be many dwelling places there in glory. You want to know what heaven is like? Well, go to the end of the book. How many of you start a book and you can't wait to see what the ending's like, so you skip the middle and you go right to the end, you read it to see how it ends, right? You ever do that? Well, you don't want to know how the story ends, you go to the end of your Bible, Revelation 21:22. We find the new heaven and the new earth spoken of there. And I believe John, he's describing what he sees in this vision. It's probably more majestic than he can even describe. But he talks about streets of gold, pearly gates, a river that is bright and clear as crystal. It's a sweet, sweet thing. There's no need of a sun in heaven. Why? Because the glory of God lights up the place. It's a glorious place. And so we have this hope of heaven, of a glory to come. What else? Fellow believers. That's right. I know maybe you may struggle to love your fellow brother and sister in Christ, but the Bible speaks of this glorious time where we'll be with them in heaven together. Listen to what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, and our crown? He says, is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Fellow believers, we have this hope of being united together with Christ in perfect unity and glory. Paul looked forward to that. We need to look forward to that as well. One more thing, probably the most important thing when you think about it. The glory of seeing God face to face. You know what the Bible says, right? No one can see the face of God and live. Guess what? When we get to heaven, we will see him in all his glory. And we'll rejoice. We'll love him fully and completely. It'll be an awesome thing. Revelation 21 speaks of God dwelling with us and we with him in this incredible relationship, this union like we've never known before. So I ask you today, is your hope in all those things that I just spoke of, those five things, the glory that is yet to come, is there a hope for you that all that is yours, or perhaps maybe today you're without any hope? maybe you're hopeless. Some may say, you know, Pastor, I don't think we should get all wrapped up in this future stuff. You know, would you just calm down? Because we've got too much stuff to do right here and now. We can't be worried about future glory. You know what they say, right? Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And that's true. Some people may get so caught up in heaven that they forget that there's things to do here on the earth. I know there's a lot to be done. I know there's a lot to be done in my own wicked, selfish heart. There's a lot of purging that needs to happen in my life right now today. And there's a lot, amen. And I got an amen from many on that one. He knows me well. You know me well, don't you, brother? So, but there's a lot of things that we're to do as well. What does the Bible say? Devote yourself to good works. There's much to be done, much work to be done here on the earth, and that is true. But I will say this, we should not throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. In other words, we shouldn't take this idea of hope and what hope is all about and just toss it aside. Because I believe God would want us to be filled with this hope each and every moment of our lives. In fact, He would want us overflowing with this hope. Because hope produces something. What does hope produce? Well, I'm going to give you just three things today. There's many things when you begin to think about it. But number one is joy. Romans 12, verse 12 says this. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Or you could say it this way, rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the hope that you have in Christ. And see, if you remove the hope, then it will affect your joy. They go hand in hand. Could it be that many of us in the body of Christ are simply not very joyful because we've lost sight of this hope that God wants us to have. God wants us to rely on and look to. How many of us get caught up in the earthly hope, this mere wishful thinking? Like, I hope I get that raise. I hope I get that job. I hope that girl likes me, right, guys in the back? I hope that maybe that guy likes me, whatever. But we hope for these things. And so we have kind of this uncertain hope that we're always focusing on. And we forget the eternal hope. And so when we don't get that raise or we don't get that job or that relationship never happens, we find that there is no joy in our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. Is it wrong to have those desires? You know, if you are struggling and you have the opportunity to get a little bit more money, there's nothing wrong with that. If you see yourself in a different job or a different position and you want to go for it, hey, go for it. There's nothing wrong with having that desire. And young men in the back, if your desire is to have this godly, Christ-loving, Bible-thumping woman of God, you guys go for it, all right? Nothing wrong with having that desire. It's a good thing. However, know this, your hope and your joy, they don't rest in money, they don't rest in status, and they don't rest in your relationships. They rest in Jesus Christ. They rest in who He is and what He has done for us. That is where our hope should be. Secondly is perseverance, or what we might call endurance. In the verse we just read, Paul said, be patient in affliction. Listen to what else Paul says about this subject in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful phrase there. Your endurance inspired by what? Hope. Paul says, when you have hope, it gives you endurance. It helps you to keep pressing on, or keep on keeping on, as we say. Hope will do that for you. Without hope, we may find ourselves saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm quitting this Christian race thing, this life, these trials that come. I'm done. I quit. But hope would say what? Oh no, there's no stopping. I'm running. Why? Because I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of my faith, who for the what? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He persevered the cross because he knew what was coming, that glory that he shared with the Father before all eternity. He was going back to that glory. And so he endured the cross. He persevered. He had hope. And hope can also bring perseverance in our lives as well. Listen to what Paul says here about pressing on in Romans 5. After he speaks about being justified by faith, he goes on to say this in Romans 5, 3 through 5. He says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Which leads us to the third thing that hope produces, and that is love. That is love. How many of you here today know that were it not for the love of God that was being poured into your heart, you could not love people the way God wants you to love people? How many know that? Because as the Apostle John once said, we love because he first loved us. So then how does hope produce love? When we understand that we are, as the Bible says, by nature objects of wrath. We were once slaves to our passions and our pleasures. And yet, because of God's mercy, because of God's great love for us, things changed. I was once an object of wrath, deserving of hell and judgment, and yet God has saved me, not because of anything I have done, but because of this incredible, amazing love that he has. And because of this great love, I have this hope of heaven, this hope of glory. And so, in a sense, I ought to be indebted to his love forever. When I think about my own sinfulness, my own rebellion against God, and yet, in spite of my sin, he would still send his precious son to the cross to bleed and die for me, because he loved me that much. There ought to be this sense where I am indebted to God, indebted to his love. And one way I can express my gratitude to God is to love others. It's to love others. When I know that heaven is mine, the streets of gold are mine, a place with no more crying or sickness or pain is mine, and it was all because God loved a wretch like me, how can I not be compelled to love other wretches in return? It ought to be natural. It ought to be natural. When we think about his great love, we focused a lot on hope today, and some of you may be thinking, Pastor, you do know it's Easter Sunday, right? And you're supposed to be talking about the resurrection of Christ. And I have. You just maybe weren't catching it. Because hope is all based on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the resurrection, let's be honest, none of us would have hope. This is what Paul says when he writes so beautifully in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at this, our final scripture for today out of 1 Corinthians 15. I would encourage you to read this entire chapter today if you get time. Meditate upon it. Just a beautiful chapter in light of Resurrection Sunday. Paul says this here. He says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, or those who have already died in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied. I lost my spot. We are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love this. Apostle Paul doesn't try to sugarcoat anything. He makes a very clear, logical statement here about the resurrection of Christ. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then you know what, folks? You should have slept in this morning. If Christ has not been raised, you should have went out for a nice big brunch. If Christ has not been raised, you should have watched some ESPN to see what happened in the college tournament yesterday. If Christ has not been raised, then do that honey-do list that's waiting for you today. If Christ has not been raised, this is the attitude we ought to have. You see, if Christ has not been raised, then the world is justified in saying you Christians are a bunch of fools worshiping a dead Messiah. But, hallelujah! Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah, Christ has been raised. He's risen indeed.
Amen.
And so we have this hope as well. Let me ask you, do you have this hope today? That Christ is indeed the Messiah, the Lord, that he conquered death, sin, and crushed the devil. He is the reigning king. He's returning soon. And because of his death and resurrection, you and I can have hope. Do you have that hope today? If not, then simply understand this, that the Lord of all creation, Jesus Christ, humbled himself, took on flesh, became a servant, suffered and died, so that you wouldn't have to suffer the penalty and punishment of your own sin. The wrath of God, he bore on his back. Tell you what, if you don't think God loves you, look at the cross of Christ and see what he was willing to do for you and for me. And when you put your faith in Christ, when you turn to him as Lord and Savior, when you confess that he is indeed Lord, you believe in your heart that God did indeed raise him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. You will have hope. And it's a hope that can never, ever be taken away from you. So Jesus calls out to you today. And he says to you, turn from sin. Believe in me. Trust in me. Put your hope in me. And I will give you life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. I thank you, God, for this simple gospel message is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And that is where our hope and our life and our forgiveness is found. God, forgive us when we try to complicate the simple gospel message. Lord, help us to be willing to share this simple gospel message with many around us who don't know you. God, even today, if there's one or two that are here that have never put their faith in you, God, that today would be the day. Oh, God, don't let them harden their hearts. If they hear your voice, may they open wide their hearts and embrace the Lord Jesus and find their hope in him and not in the things of this world, which are so, so uncertain. Father, thank you again for this time in your word. We give you all the thanks and the praise and the glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have another song.